You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Magna Carta, Bill of Rights, the Constitution, what's it worth? You know they're gonna grind us down until it really hurts. Is this a sovereign nation or just a police state? It's too late.
All right, how about that? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. It is Saturday evening, October the 22nd, and we are going back to Germany here during this, our first hour, with our good friend Sascha Rossmüller. He is, of course, a freelance journalist for a wonderful magazine over there in Germany. He's also the vice chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, which is an organization to which I belong, based in Sweden there. And we will plug his organizations, and we will plug his publications and his personal social media throughout the hour. But right now, let's go straight to him, joining us live from Bavaria with a special report from Europe. Sascha, thanks for staying up late. How are you tonight?
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure and a huge honor to have this conversation with you. And I hope everything is well in overseas, and I hope the technique is working without any big tech attacks, and you can understand me clearly. I hope so.
I understand you well, my friend. And yes, I do want to make mention, though, very quickly, Sascha kicked off. He was the debut guest for this year's very special March Around the World series, which has really become my favorite session throughout the TPC broadcast calendar year. It is my favorite month. It's my favorite series to produce, and has been for the last couple of years. And Sascha kicked off our March Around the World that first Saturday in March earlier this spring. And when we had him on then, we had asked him to provide us with some traditional and historic German songs. And tonight he asked if he could return the favor by giving us some American songs that he liked, and some of them are even political. You just heard that one, Stand and Deliver by Eric Clapton and written by Van Morrison. And we've talked about that. These two guys, Eric Clapton and Van Morrison, have become increasingly based in their own rights in the last couple of years. So thank you, Sascha, for that suggestion. And thank you again for being with us tonight. So where do we start with what's going on in Europe? Let's just start there in your neck of the woods. We've got a lot to cover tonight, but what is the situation on the ground in Germany?
In Germany, the society is polarizing more and more. We had a beginning of that polarization during this COVID era with the COVID restrictions and all this policy around that. However, now when we face huge economic problems, not least due to the sanctions policy, people more and more are frightened what they will face and what they will witness in future. And there is a lot of anxious, a lot of they're frightened regarding security interests, regarding personal economic interests, and again, people started marching on the streets. However, due to the propaganda of the establishment mainstream media, which covers always just the picture of the government, the society is divided. I think it won't be much otherwise as short for the midterm elections in the USA. We don't have these elections here, but we have problems that caused this development.
Sasha, do you buy into, our observations from afar are not going to be nearly as dialed in to the situation on the ground as someone who is actually living there. Do you buy into any of the chatter and to any of the rumors that the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline was perhaps done in part to the idea that Germany and Russia could have been having some back-channel communications about restoring the flow there, because Europe's coming up on a pretty dire energy crisis. Is that all accurate?
Yes, of course. The situation here from the public sphere, from the authorities and the government and establishment media, is that everything that occurs, everything sad or bad things that occur, is the fault of Russia. If it's too hot tomorrow, or if it's raining tomorrow, or if it's too cold, all and everything is the fault of Russia, according to the mainstream. However, quite interesting regarding that sabotage of the Nord Stream, the two Nord Stream pipelines, just recently, I think it was only one day or 2 days ago, there was an official inquiry of a member of the parliament. It is a dissident left wing, not a typical wokist left wing, but more a working class left wing. I don't know if you ever heard the name Sarah Wagenknecht. The person is very critical against the government. And concerning the investigations in regard of the Nord Stream damages, that German member of parliament asked the Ministry of Economics and Technology about possible findings regarding that investigations. Among other things, she wanted to know which Russian and NATO ships had been in the area of the damaged pipelines. And that member of parliament also asked about the results of the investigation so far. However, the government is stonewalling. The government didn't say we don't have any findings or anything else, but it is stonewalling and justifies, and that's quite interesting, as follows. I quote, "The requested information thus affects confidentiality interests that require protection to such an extent that the welfare of the state prevails over the parliamentary right to information, and the MP's right to ask questions must exceptionally take a backseat to the federal government interest in secrecy." And I think that answer speaks volumes. They know about what happened, but they want to hide them. And they don't want to tell the people the truth about what has happened.
You know, this is, I was just thinking as you were speaking, and it really is fascinating that there hasn't been more of an outcry. Of course, if there had been, you wouldn't hear about it, because the system throughout the world decide what you will and will not hear through their mouthpiece organs. But of all the nations that have been impacted by the destruction of the Nord Stream, and of all of the intelligence agencies that exist in these nations, nobody's figured out who's done this yet. I mean, it's absolutely preposterous. But I want to talk more about the relationships between Germany and Russia and what they could be, what they are now, and what the average German thinks about the situation in Ukraine. We'll do that with Sasha Rossmuller next.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs. I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Back live with Sasa Rossmuller from Bavaria. That's where we are connected right now. And he is, in addition to being a freelance journalist, regularly read in a popular German magazine, which we'll give you the contact information for in a second. Vice chairman of Europa Terra Nostra. We'll give you that contact information too. He is really plugged in over there in Europe, and that's why we're going to him tonight. So, Sasha, you know, I think you were talking about the official position of the head table of the German government with regards to Russia, sort of like the head table here in the United States and in most of the NATO nations, I guess. If it rains, it's Russia's fault. Russia's entirely to blame for the unpleasantness in Ukraine, and Ukraine never did anything wrong, and Russia has no legitimate interest there, and so on and so forth. I mean, that we've heard many times over, which I don't agree with, obviously, and to say the least. But with regard to the average American, I mean, let's face it, the average American couldn't find Ukraine on a map, so let's not pretend that the average American has any real informed opinions on the geopolitical situation over there. However, Americans are coming around, and hopefully we'll see this reflected in the midterm elections here in the United States coming up in just 2 weeks, that they want to cut off the tens of billions of dollars in aid. Just they want to quit writing the blank checks to Zelensky that this government has been doing for since February. Are you seeing that over there in Germany with regards to the average German citizen, who obviously I think would have a little bit better understanding of the situation over there than the average American, but are they entirely against Putin and Russia, or is it a little more balanced, and are they concerned with the amount of aid and the crisis that not being able to deal with Russia in terms of their natural resources may be bringing about on the German people?
Yes, despite this one-sided government and mainstream propaganda, despite this, I have noticed a recent poll is a majority against that war, respectively against the participation in that war from German side, be it by funding that war, subsidizing the Kiev regime, or be it by delivering weapons or anything else. The people recognize that these are resources which are urgently needed here in Germany. I think most people outside of Germany can't imagine that Germany is nowadays just a giant on feet of clay, because Germany itself, we are paying for all the world and we are financing the European Union. Germany is in a huge amount indebted by itself. It's more than 2 trillion euros debt that debt burden Germany has in the meanwhile. And people see that there are close economic connections between our economy and the Russian economy. However, that's for the ones who are historically interested and delve a little bit deeper in political issues, then know that was always a geostrategical point of the deep state to divide Germany and Russia. It's the geopolitical strategies since Mayhem, Mackinder, Spikeman, Brzezinski, until up to today. And Germany has the know-how, the technology, and Russia and China, for example, has resources. And that combination is always strived to be divided by the speculative finance oligarchy in the globalist capitalists. And however, people recognize that there are huge collateral damages of this war in Ukraine on our economy. We are in need of the Russian gas, and not only gas, also and coal. And let's put it this, foreign relationships between countries are always based on interests, to balance the respective interests. However, within the European Union, especially in Germany, there is no pursuit of national interest any longer, just virtue signaling alongside questionable so-called progressive values. And for me, this self-harming sanctions policy increasingly resembles a kind of a political borderline syndrome. And exploding energy prices are a burden on companies and private households alike here in Germany. And people feel this. We are facing a winter now, and we will have problems to heat. And even if up to now there hasn't been a territory expanded war all over Ukraine, alone Germany has given more than 900,000 Ukrainian refugees a shelter here in Germany. And in addition, we face a new Mediterranean and a new Balkan route of asylum seekers. And that's too much for the resources a country like Germany can give.
What a fascinating presentation. I listened, quite riveting. And you touched on, well, a couple of things that I want to pivot back to very, very quickly. We were talking with Nick Griffin earlier this month about how the energy situation and the cost of what it's going to cost to heat businesses and to heat residences in the UK, and how it's going to get to be cost prohibitive. Is Germany facing dire straits to the extent that the UK is with regards to the energy crisis? Is it on par? Is it on balance? A little bit better, a little bit worse? How would you compare the two? I guess to better phrase the question, between Germany and the UK, who stands to suffer most? Whose people stand to suffer most with regards to the coming winter and the energy crisis there?
Yes. Regarding the energy, last year's gas consumption in Germany was as follows. 37% was used by industry, 31% by households, 13% by trade, commerce and services, 12% by electricity supply, 7% by district heating, and a little bit by transport. That shows the economic relevance of gas imports in Germany. And after Qatar has said they can't deliver gas to Germany, and after Norway has said they can't deliver gas to Germany, our chancellor has been at in the United Arab Emirates, and the United Arab Emirates will deliver gas. However, this gas delivery comprises less than the amount that was moved via Nord Stream 1 in one day as recently as February. So, no more words for explanation necessary, I think.
That is absolutely staggering, unbelievable. Okay, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So all of Western Europe is stands to either freeze or pay more than they've got to have basic necessities this winter, all over a conflict that really is none of Germany's business. Perhaps Germany's a little bit more, certainly not the UK's business, and certainly not America's business, to be sure. And I want to ask Sasha one more thing when we come back about the extent to which Germany and Russia could or should be natural and political allies. We'll get a take on that, and then we're going to talk about a few other topics with Sasha Rossmuller.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
United Kingdom Prime Minister Liz Truss announced on Thursday she is going to resign and step away from the job she recently took. Officials say it'll take about a week to elect her replacement.
Given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party.
Interstate 5 in Albany, Oregon, near milepost 228, was a site of a fog-caused pileup Wednesday. Traffic is still being detoured in some spots. 60 crashes, including a fatality, was reported by the Oregon State Police. Former UCLA student Christian Seeker was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison on Wednesday for his involvement in January 6. Embattled Los Angeles Councilman Kevin De Leon said Wednesday he will not resign amid anger over a leaked tape that revealed him participating in a meeting in which Democrat officials made racist remarks and plan to expand their political power. Former City Council President Nuri Martinez has already resigned, acting L.A. City Council President Mitch O'Farrell.
The resignation of Councilwoman Martinez is the right first step, and to also say that Council Members Cedillo and De Leon must follow suit.
The CDC Advisory Committee has unanimously voted to add COVID-19 shots to the child and adolescent vaccination schedule. The decision leaves millions of parents worried due to reports of rising injuries and deaths caused by the vaccines. In addition, the CDC is set to decide on whether Pfizer and Moderna should be permanently shielded from injury liability resulting from COVID-19 vaccines. San Diego and Houston baseball teams won overnight in the Final Four race to the World Series. One game tonight, Yankees at Houston. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-568-2790. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-568-2790. 800-568-2790.
Back to Germany we go with Sascha Rossmuller. So great to have him back on the program this evening as we are really getting into, and I think in Europe already, quite a bit colder there. Winter sets in a little bit earlier in Northern Europe than it does here in the Southern United States. So you're probably already beginning to feel a little bit of the bite of that cold there, Sascha. And I did want to ask this. I think we know, of course, why Russia has been frozen out in its own way, so to speak, by the Western nations. Well, Putin gave a speech about that. He sees the West as satanic and corrupt and degenerate, and certainly to a great extent, Russia pushes back against that. If Russia went along with the Globo Homo program, as they call it, and did as every other criminally corrupt Western nation does, they'd be welcomed into to the club, no doubt in my mind, but they don't, and that's why they are where they are with regards to their relationships with the other nations, or rather the other nations' relationships with them. But to what extent, Sascha, in your opinion, could and or should Russia and Germany be natural political and economic allies? Why does that make sense?
It makes sense in regard of a common Occidental heritage here that it's important to defend all over Europe and all over the wide world. And it makes sense as we have touched it because on economic aspects. I have mentioned it before. We have in Germany knowledge, technology. However, the vast territory of Russia and in the eastern parts of Eurasia, there are resources and raw materials that are needed. And if you mentioned the speech of Putin, and it was very interesting. In that concern, that Putin said, one cannot feed people with printed dollars and euros. Keyword fiat money. You cannot feed them with these pieces of paper, and the virtual inflated capitalization of Western social media companies cannot heat their homes. And that's indeed true. Facing that energy crisis we have touched before. The German Association of Cities and Municipalities has already recommended here in Germany that the local authorities should plan to provide warming islands in public halls for the winter for the people. Imagine that. But in the same time, we spend money for asylum seekers and projects all around the world. And despite the fact that beyond just the question of gas, the fact that Russian coal accounted for more than 21% of total EU imports last year. Nevertheless, a coal embargo was adopted as well. And so with whom should Germany ally? You know it by yourself. The United States under the Biden administration are faltering itself and will falter the more the longer they are just concentrate on woke thought issues or LGBT race. And imagine I've told you the importance of this energy for Germany and the indebtedness of Germany. What will be the development of the European Union? What will Brussels do, the European deep state, if Germany can't pay any longer? And I can give you some more examples. It's interesting, for example, in mid-August, the megawatt hour of natural gas on the TTF exchange, it's in the Netherlands, in Dutch, was cost 200 euros for September. Just 1 year before, the price was by 25 euros. And that has an impact on industry. The steel industry, just recently, the steel industry said it will incur additional costs of around 500 million euros per year. The announced the gas levy or per kilowatt hour means additional annual cost of around 375 million euros for the building materials industry. That's a problem that can be a collapse, a huge crash of the economy. And it's not just the energy crisis. Because due to globalization, we have this supply bottleneck. We have touched it. We have the problems to receive the raw materials, the resources, and we have the problem with in inflation. But we have spoken about the Nord Stream pipelines. If we, in regard of inflation, consumer prices, let's talk about another pipeline, the pipeline of consumer prices. The pipeline of consumer prices has a name, and that are producer prices. And if you look at those producer prices, they have been started to explode before Putin's special operation in February. Hmm. And I think that's quite interesting. There is someone to whom is to attribute the fault for inflation, but it's not Vladimir Putin. It's Christine Lagarde. It's the European Central Bank's monetary socialism. It's the financial feudalism of fighting state debts with more debts. It's like fighting a fire with a fire accelerant. And that's the problem we face. It's the quantitative ease policy. And you have seen the same in the United States. And for much too long, we had those low interest rates and everything is adapted. And now what is the result? The result is a situation, we are trapped in a situation to choose between Skilla and Charybdis. We accept inflation or accept recession in fighting inflation. And that's not the fault of Putin, because if you look at the statistic, you have seen this was starting right before this special operation, and maybe the military industry complex needs that war to cover the real causes of this mess we are in now.
Yes, absolutely. And so you're talking about the rising cost of energy, partially due to the situation, you know, NATO, frankly, has thrust on Russia. That's just my opinion. But also because of the global mismanagement of the so-called COVID pandemic and with the devastation that brought to the supply chains and the cost of, well, if you're talking about home building here in the United States, the cost of lumber, and it's just on and on and on and on. It'll be groceries. The cost of groceries now is exorbitant even here in the United States. So, yes, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what the world looks like come springtime. All right, because you got to understand, last winter you didn't have the situation because the situation didn't develop in the Ukraine on the ground until February of this year. So going to be very interesting to see who's still standing come spring. And if the Republicans can take back Congress in the midterms here in the United States and they do curtail funding to Zelensky, how that may impact the way things play out going forward. Sasha, with about 2 minutes remaining this segment, and then we're going to transition in the final segment with you this hour and get all of your contact information and talk a little bit more about the way things are turning out electorally speaking in Europe. But if you could look into your crystal ball, what would be the most, well, I don't know if I want to ask you what would be the most favorable outcome of this or the most likely outcome. Let's go with the most likely. How do you see this thing playing out between Putin and Ukraine and NATO, et cetera?
It won't end soon, because in Washington we had a week ago, or it was, there was the autumn conference of World Bank and International Monetary Fund. And they asked, they promised 50 billion more for Ukraine. And it was interesting that the vice director said that it will be a hard winter for Germany this year, but the most hardest winter will be the winter 23-24. And that's the crystal ball that tells us that they are not keen on ending this war, and they are not interested in going back to the negotiation table, as Putin in his speech has offered.
That's very interesting. I haven't heard anybody actually say that yet, that they foresee this thing continuing to play itself out even a year from now. I mean, but of course, you know, most wars don't end within weeks or months. So, you know, you think about our Civil War, the World Wars, for instance. You know, you're talking about 4 years in each of those three instances. And so, man, that is something to consider, that this thing could continue to just go and go and go. We'll be back. We'll be back. One more segment with the always informative Sasha Rosmuller.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Wherever the rebels go, I never heard computers scream. Where's the spirit, where's the soul? Wherever the rebels go, why don't they come out of the woodwork now? One for the money, two for the show.
All right, how about Van Morrison, ladies and gentlemen? I think we talked about his newest album last year. He's come a long way since Brown Eyed Girl, which is a song I actually quite am fond of, but certainly political lyrics, the likes of which we would have been hard-pressed to better. And Sasha Rosmuller gave us those recommendations tonight, returning the favor he gave us for bringing some German music to the program back in his March Around the World appearance in the springtime. He is returning a few American songs that he likes to share with our audience, and that's what we're doing. So, Sasha, before we go back to Europe, let's quickly talk a little bit about your contact information. Now, of course, people know Europa Terra Nostra. We've mentioned that a few times. Europa Terra Nostra is an organization that exists to bring nationalists of European descent together. I am a member. You can get more information at ETNostra. That's ETNOSTRA.com. Before we plug your personal contact information for your social media, Sasha, tell us about the magazine. The magazine is actually the vehicle that first brought us together. I had received an interview request from you, and we did a wonderful interview for that magazine back, almost 2 years ago now, that is just really wonderful. In fact, I'll retweet that tonight for the audience to see. But to give us a little more information about the magazine and where people can see it, I am at the website right now, and you can just click a handy button, and it translates it immediately into English for you. Tell us, Sasha.
Yes, it's called Deutsche Stimme, in English, German voiced, or... And I think it's a high quality magazine. It's a monthly magazine, and the magazine is not just distributed to subscribers. It's also, despite some repressions we regularly face, it's sold in public newspaper stores in all around in Europe. Not in every store, but in a lot of stores, we are still sold with this magazine. It's in German language, and it's, that magazine also has in German language some video and online projects. And in after the Corona restrictions started now to organize real life conferences, a few weeks ago we had a so-called networking day from the magazine that brought together different currents of the right-wing spectrum in Germany. It was very interesting seeing, discussing people with one another who up to then didn't have any contact. And it was a huge success in connect people, in try to generate synergy effect, and not always competing, but more cooperating. And in December, I will moderate this conference. We will start the second networking day. That's an interesting development. And maybe if we go further that way with some success, we can maybe plan to, from time to time, to put it on an international level and make some networking day with different media projects, not only German in Germany, but in international level. Maybe that would be also an interesting goal for the future.
I can't brag about the publication enough. Again, sold in newsstands in Germany, among other places, and you can get it online. High resolution, glossy photos, great content, and that is actually, again, how Sasha and I came to know one another, and since then, fast friends for sure, and comrades. So you have previously, of course, been on social media for a long time, Sasha, but you had traditionally posted mostly under the organizational accounts for either the magazine or Europa Terra Nostra, but now you have a rapidly growing fan base under your own name. And how can people find you on social media? I know you're on Telegram mainly, but also Gab and other places too.
Yes, because I'm engaged and working on my third book, which I will publish not only in German language, but also in English language. I've decided to concentrate quite a time a bit more on the journalistic work. And in course of that, I started lately, but I started with a personal social media. One can find me on Gab. That's correct. On Gab, I'm mostly commenting in English language, nearly almost in English language. So perhaps interesting for your audience. since new, I have an account, but it's really absolutely new. I have an account on Getter, the Twitter alternative, so to say. And there I post German and in English. And on Telegram, I have two channels on Telegram. One channel is in German language, and the other one I started a little bit later. There's much place left for more followers. There is a channel in English language where I also comment on a daily basis. It's Rossmüller's dissident channel. Maybe you can promote them a little bit on your platform.
I was just about to say, in fact, Sasha, folks, if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight and you go to the weekly promotional message advertising who's going to be on the program tonight, we got Mark Weber coming up next, so stay tuned for that. But we've got all of Sasha's stuff linked there for the magazine, for Europa Terra Nostra, and for his Telegram. You can check it out there, and please do stay in touch with him. He is our go-to guy in Germany, and Germany is such an important nation, such an important people, not just for Europe, but for Europeans around the world. Germany's a big player, so we want to keep our ear to the ground there. And speaking of Germany, Sasha, but yes, please do, thepoliticalcesspool.org there. If you didn't write it down, you can link right over and then bookmark it and stay in touch with Sasha, and we want you to do that. But you know, Germany is uniquely positioned in Europe, in Central Europe. You're flanked on one side by the Western European nations, and down a little bit to the Balkans, and then of course to the east, Russia, but within close proximity to all of it. And then of course north, you've got Scandinavia. So Germany's really the heart of Europe. What are you seeing from your unique position in Europe, Sasha, with regards to how some of the local national elections are turning out? We've been talking about Italy. We've been talking about Sweden. I think there was one smaller Eastern European nation who's the top four parties from the previous cycle didn't place. Is all of this, do you think, could lead to an upheaval in the overthrow of governments in the election of new governments that might have been locked out before? What we're witnessing now, we've still got about 4 minutes.
I think it's just, it can be a step forward, but it won't lead to an upheaval, and it won't lead to the needed paradigm shift in short term. Mostly it have been successes of not genuine nationalist organization. It has been a successes of civic conservative right organizations, and they mostly are not within the government. You mentioned, for example, Sweden, where they had the Sweden Democrat. The Democrats had a success in the last elections. However, since yesterday or since 2 days, Sweden has a government coalition, but they didn't include the Sweden Democrats. However, they had to agree, because they didn't find a majority. They had to agree on some points regarding migration policy as a prerequisite that the Sweden Democrats tolerates the new minority government. So the Sweden Democrats could improve their influence, but it's still far away for having the government majority in the right hands to incite the paradigm shift that would have been needed. And what it concerns in Italy is in historic terms always problematic regarding governments, because governments they don't govern very long in Italy traditionally, and that's a problem. And it remains to be seen whether the alliance of Meloni, Salvini, and Berlusconi will deliver, especially to what extent it will maintain unity against Brussels' hostility and heteronomy. However, also in Italy, no doubt that this election result can be another important step against the dominance of the globalist establishment. But what concerns me a little bit is that before that election, there was a draft of this right-wingers joint program that it was published by Politico, and it stated not only that Italy is a full-fledged part of Europe, so far so good, but pledged its full adhesion to European integration. So is that to be interpreted as a pro-EU statement? I don't know. We will have to see. And will they arrange with Brussels, or will they fight Brussels? It's too early to say. But, and we genuine nationalists, we know that a renaissance of the Occident will not be able to take place in the engine room of the Europe destroyer European Union. Rather, nations willing to leave will have to bring down that technocratic monster of heteronomy. And the further transformation towards a union of migration, transfer, and joint liability is the strongest argument for exiting. But I don't know. Salvini, a year or 2 years ago, promised to ask the people about an Italexit, to leave European Union. I don't think the new government will walk this way. So it's a little bit too early, and we would need a crystal ball to know exactly and to make a precise prognosis of what will happen. But of course, it can be a step which is helpful, because maybe those organizations provide widen the spectrum what can be said in the political arena.
Sasha, you have been enlightening and informative as you